And I don't know if any of you have had a chance to visit with her, but you come home, or you come away from her just pumped and excited and encouraged. And that was our experience too. And she asked us to pass on greetings to everyone who knows her in the church. And if you don't know her, she probably meant those greetings for you too. So it was interesting to talk to her because she had very strong opinions about Donald Trump. So we, who knew? Yeah, she was pretty relieved to hear that we weren't his best friends either. So, yeah. Just a few things we want to highlight here. Congratulations to Tyler and Heather Falk. They have just experienced the birth of their third son in 3 years. So let's uphold that family in prayer. I think they're going to be a busy household for quite a while. It sounds like Tenley and her family had a good week, and there's lots of good things to be thankful for there. We're so glad for you to have a rest from all the stress. So good to hear. We had an announcement last week about Michael Sharp, who's a Mennonite peace worker who was abducted in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. And we haven't heard any further updates about him at all, but let's continue to pray for him and for his safety. Yesterday, Helen Fair turned 101. So it's been a tough couple of weeks for her, I think, in the last few weeks. Her health has been kind of up and down and struggling. But let's continue to remember her in prayer. And Kim has a birthday today. Kim, or where are you? There you are. Happy birthday, Kim. Wish you well here. Yeah, very good. I want to also remember our Soar Heartland youth. Youth are going on Soar Heartland. That's Nick Dreger, Caleb Rempel, Shania Ginter, and Jesse Miller are in Winnipeg right now. Ministering, I think, with the MCI group, with an organization that deals with immigrants and refugees. So let's continue to uphold them in prayer. We have others from our congregation who are away this week. Lauren Fair and Josh Dick and Marilyn Dick are all accompanying another MCI group that has headed to Italy for a spring break trip. So let's pray for safety for them as well. And I haven't heard a more recent update about Elma's great-granddaughter, Samara, but I think her health is still really struggling, and there's some serious prayer needs to keep happening for little Samara. Let's keep her in our prayers. On our insert, there's a couple of things that Rudy asked me to highlight here. First of all, Rudy is not with us in the first part of the service this week. This Sunday. He'll be joining us a little later, but he's serving first at Eden and at Salem in Winkler. But if you've been going to your mailbox lately and finding other people's mail in your mailbox, there's a reason for that. The mailboxes have been rearranged, and there's a new order to them, so if you've been wondering why other people's mail are in your mailbox, that's why. Check and see where your mailbox's new position is. And one more important announcement from the bulletin itself. We're really in need of people to help out with the audio visuals at the back. We've had a few people that are not able to continue on with that for various reasons. And so we're looking for people who would be willing to volunteer in that position and serve in that position and be willing to be trained to fill those vacancies once in a while. So contact John and Linda. Would that be who would contact John? Contact Linda Entz-Funk. if you're willing to serve in that capacity. Marlon has one announcement yet, but are there any others who have an announcement to make before we get on to Marlon's?
Good morning. For those of you who weren't at the annual meeting 2 weeks ago, I just wanted to update everyone on the decision that was made at that meeting. At that meeting, a motion was passed that our congregation withdraw our support from the Mennonite Church Manitoba and Mennonite Church Canada. This decision was made because we as a congregation determined that we could no longer support the position and direction that the conferences have taken. We believe that the position that has been taken by the conference is not in accordance with God's heart for marriage and sexuality, as is written in the Bible. This decision was not made lightly. There's been much prayerful consideration and discussion surrounding that choice. And we recognize the many good things that the conference has done and continues to do. We recognize the many long-standing connections which have been fostered over the period of many years. Yet, we also recognize that we needed to make a decision in response to the conference's resolution of being a faithful church. Our commitment has not changed. We still love and respect all people as created in the image of God. The motion that was accepted had a date of March 31st to end our affiliation with the conference. However, we know that working out the implications of this decision will take time. Our connection has many different and unique relationships, and all of those need to be sorted out in the best way possible. So as a church council, we ask that you continue to pray over this issue for both the conference and for the congregation. We do not know what the future will look like without our close connection with the conference, but we trust that the Lord will guide and lead us. If you have any questions, please feel free to talk to myself, to Scott Fair, or to Pastor Rudy, and we'd love to talk to you about it. Thanks.
Thank you, Marlon. A number of years ago, someone passed on a small book to me that was a biography of a pastor from communist China, a Chinese pastor, whose name was Pastor Yun. And I don't know if any of you have read his story ever. His book is called The Heavenly Man, and it's an amazing story of how God was at work both in Pastor Yun's life and in the life of the underground church in China. A number of years ago, he actually toured through this area, and I wasn't able to hear him. Some of you may have been able to hear him. I think he spoke in Winnipeg. But he has an amazing story to tell of how the church is growing in China in the midst of very terrible persecution. And at the time that he became a Christian, Bibles were really hard to come by, almost impossible to come by. And when he became a believer, believers like him would fast and pray for months. And I think he fasted and prayed for 100 days, asking God to send him a Bible. And in the end, he was given a vision of a man who would come to bring him a Bible. And that very morning, that's exactly what happened. And he experienced incredible torture and persecution as a result of his faith, but was able to bring many, many people to Christ through his ministry and through what God was doing in him and through him. It's an amazing story. And when I think about how casually I take the opportunity to read this book, I'm kind of put to shame when I read a story like Pastor Yun's. And I'm reminded that I have in my hands a powerful weapon, one that scares some leaders of countries so much that they actually ban it from their country. That's how powerful this book is. And it's no coincidence that in our armor it's called the Sword of the Spirit. And thank you for the sword that someone brought to the front here. That's an amazing symbol. And maybe a little rare to see in a Mennonite church, I would say. But Hebrews tells us that the word of the Lord is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of heart. Can we bow for prayer? Father, we give you thanks for the gift of your word. And we give you thanks for the power of your word to change lives, to change our lives, and to change many lives to come. We ask that you give us a hunger and a love for this precious gift. Amen.
To be back to church today. I get to lead worship my first Sunday back in Canada. But yeah, I invite you all to stand, and as we prepare our hearts just to worship God, I'm going to pray and then we can start singing. Father, I thank you so much for today, Father, and we just put aside anything, any thoughts that are not pointed at you right now, Father. We just, we're going to decide to receive your peace right now. We're going to decide to receive your joy. Father, we turn our hearts and our eyes to you. I just ask that you would speak to each individual here, Father, that we would hear your voice and we would see your face, and we wouldn't want anything else but to be in your presence, God. And we just declare your goodness and your faithfulness, that you are sovereign and that you are amazing and we love you. And Father, we just want to receive your love today right now. And so, yeah, we're going to start by singing, sing, sing, sing.
Sing, sing, and make music with the heavens. We will sing, 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 grateful that you hear us when we shout your praise. Lift high the name of Jesus. What's not to love about you? And kingdoms bow down, Son of God, you are the one, you are the one we're living for.
You are the love,
you are the love that frees us, you are the light that leads us, like a fire burning. Of what?
Every hour I need you, my one.
Thank you, Kendra. I invite the ushers to come forward to take the offering. Thank you, Christina and Kirsten. Could we bow for prayer? Lord, you are indeed great and worthy of praise, as the song goes. And we thank you, Father, for your greatness. We praise you for your greatness. We thank you also, Lord, that you have given us the opportunity to give. May we continue to do so with open hands and thankful hearts. We thank you, Father, for the safe arrival of baby Levi. Thank you also for giving Tenley and her family some good days where they can rest from the difficulties of cancer treatments. We continue to lift up Elma's great-granddaughter, Samara, And we ask for your healing hand on her life right now as she awaits the possibility of very important surgery. We pray for courage and strength and safety for our youth, as some of them serve in SOAR and as some travel to Italy. We lift up those in care homes, Trudy Harms, Helen Fair, Helen Jansen, and Jake Rempel. Also those serving in faraway places, Laura in the Congo, Ryan in Mexico, Murray and Carol, the people at Eagle's Wings, John and Natalie in Thailand, Andrea Fair and Nettie Dick. May each of these know your presence today and find the strength to trust your guidance each day as they serve you there. Father, we also pray for our church here in Rosetown, for clear guidance and direction for where you are leading us in the future right now. We ask for a spirit of humility as we deal with conflict with the Mennonite Church Conference. Father, we pray also for the conference. We ask for your spirit to continue to move in their midst, to fill them with your truth and to lead them. Lord, we pray also that you would feed us with the living bread from heaven. You renew our faith, you increase our hope, you strengthen our love. Would you teach us to hunger for Christ, for Jesus, who is the true and living bread? And would you teach us to live by every word that comes from your mouth? And we ask these things in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. Now, I have a question here because there's something unclear. Sarah Wall is not the person on Children's Story. Was anyone asked to replace her for Children's Story? I guess that got missed. Sorry about that, kids, but we will hopefully have a children's story next time. Invite someone to come up for the scripture reading.
Colossians 1, verse 15 to 22. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the beginning, he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Wait, actually, that's what I was going to read. Jesus received the greatest humiliation of all. But now God has given him the greatest exaltation. So now we're going to praise him by singing "Above All," because Jesus is above all things, and all things were created for him. Are you guys in stand? Sorry. Above all kings, above all nature and all created. All wisdom and all the ways of man.
here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders this world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, lay behind the stone, you live to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground, you took the fall, and you thought of me. will not boast in anything. No gifts, no powers, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Why should
we thank you for what you did. There's nothing we can do but give you thanks. And now we're just going to sing your praise because you are worthy of it all. And we thank you for what you did.
I'm so glad we've heard a number of scriptures already this morning. So let's just meditate on these short scriptures that I'm going to read as we go through them. One of them again, they're both in your bulletin. One is beside scripture reading. The other is on the verse of the week, a little higher up. The first one I'll read is Ephesians 6, verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then Hebrews 4, verse 12. The Word of God is living and active, and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart.
Please bow with me as I pray. God, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the privilege that it is to speak your word. And God, I pray that the words that I speak would be from you, and that the ones that I speak that aren't from you, that people would forget them, that they would remember the ones that you want them to, and that you would build us up this morning as a church. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning. How's everybody doing today? Awake? Good. It is good to be together in God's house this morning, and I want to welcome you all here. I've really enjoyed our series on the armor of God. We've gone through quite a few pieces of the armor already. First, we had the belt of truth, which holds our armor in place. Then the breastplate of righteousness, along with it, forms a protective barrier for our vital organs. Next was the feet fitted with the readiness of the gospel of peace, and the shield of faith, which protects us from the fiery arrows of our enemy, and the helmet of salvation, which guards our minds. Today, we'll be discussing the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And before we get into that, we're going to do something a little bit fun. The youth and junior youth know that I like to ask questions. Actually, I love asking questions. And today I'm going to start by asking you all some questions. So class, welcome to your pop quiz. Please shout out the answers if you know them. And if you don't feel comfortable doing that, just don't worry about it. What is the common name given to the first four books of the New Testament? The Gospels. Who wrote most of the books in the New Testament? Paul. Who wrote the Acts of the Apostles? Luke. Which book comes last in the New Testament? Revelation. What does the word gospel mean? Good news. Who was the king of Judea at the time of Jesus' birth? Herod the Great. Which gospel records the fewest of the miracles performed by Jesus? Matthew. In what water was Jesus baptized? The River Jordan. Do you guys like the questions? Should I keep them coming? I've got a few more. Who was the tax collector that climbed up a tree so he could see Jesus? Zacchaeus. Which two Old Testament characters appeared with Jesus at the Transfiguration? Moses and Elijah. How did Jesus reveal the one who would betray him? He dipped the piece of bread and passed it to him. On what island was Paul shipwrecked as he made his way to Rome? Oh, sorry, I'm on the wrong page. Malta, nice. I'll do just a couple more. Where did Jesus grow up after returning from Egypt? Nazareth. What was Jesus' first miracle? Water to wine. As Jesus and his disciples were crossing the Sea of Galilee in a boat, a big storm arose. Jesus rebuked the wind and waves, and the storm disappeared. What was Jesus doing when the storm arose? He was sleeping. All right, this is the last one. On Good Friday, Jesus was brought before Pontius Pilate for trial. Why did Pontius Pilate condemn Jesus to death? Politics. Peer pressure. The chief priests had persuaded the crowd to demand his execution. Good work, everybody. Your quiz, I think you passed. So, well done. I wanted to do a little bit of Bible trivia this morning because today we're talking about the Word of God, and it's important that we know it. Not just the facts necessarily, but the facts are important as well. And sometimes I like to ask the youth and junior youth Bible trivia questions that I make up from my head. And sometimes they're a little over the top and they don't know what I'm talking about, but it's a lot of fun. So this morning, as we're talking about the sword of the Spirit, I want to explore three questions with you guys. What is the sword of the Spirit? How do we receive it? And what do we do with it once we've got it? So firstly, what is the sword of the Spirit? As I was reading and researching for this morning, I wondered a few things. Like, what kind of sword is the sword of the Spirit? Is it a sword like you would see on The Lord of the Rings? Is it a sword like a pirate would wield? Is it a fencing sword? Is it a sword like the one that Ehud in Judges 3 uses to stab King Eglon, and it says that his fat enclosed over the blade so that it disappeared? Or is it something else? Is it large? Is it small? Is it curved? Is it flat? The simple answer is that the sword of the Spirit is actually figurative. It's the word of God, and it seems clear at first. It's likely a phrase that we've heard since Sunday school, but let's dig into it a bit. The Greek word that's translated as sword here is a word that's pronounced mechaira, which described is a short sword or a dagger mainly used for stabbing. So it probably wasn't as big as this one, but it probably was a bit of a smaller sword. It was a sword, though, that any Roman soldier would not consider themselves fully armed unless they were carrying their mechaira sword with them. It was the one that they used in close combat. It would have been used for both defense and offense, to defend and attack. It would have been used to block the enemy and to fight back. The sword is a sword of the Spirit, which tells us that it's a sword which is given to us by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit of God. It is a spiritual sword that aids us in our spiritual battle. I want to remind you that the enemy that we're talking about in this whole series is not our neighbor, it is not our friends, it is not our coworkers, it's not our boss, it's not the people that we get angry at on a regular basis or have little frustrations with, but rather it is the principalities and powers, the authorities. It's not the people that we're fighting. And so we need a spiritual sword to help us defend and push back against the enemy. And sometimes the things that we fight against are just thoughts or irritations or temptations that want us to do things that are contrary to the way that God wants us to do things. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. It's important here to read the Word of God as a unit. The Word of God, the phrase Word of God, within the scope of Scripture has three distinct meanings. The first meaning is Christ, the personal revelation of God. The second meaning is the Gospel, which is the proclaimed message of Christ by the apostles. And the third and final meaning is the Bible, or all of Scripture as it reveals Christ to us. In this passage regarding the sword of the Spirit being the Word of God, we must understand which meaning is meant. Most of the commentators I read were agreed that the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, refers to Scripture, to the Bible, which, according to 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 to 17, is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Whoops. All of Scripture centers on the message of Christ. The Word of God, which is the sword supplied to us by the Spirit, is the revelation of God through the message of Christ as written in the Scriptures. God's Word reveals Christ, God's Word exposes our reality, and God's Word silences our accuser. So how can we be found ready with our sword in hand? In Ephesians 6:17, Paul writes, "Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is God's Word." The word translated as "take" is more accurately translated as "receive." God invites us to receive the gift of salvation, which is the helmet, as well as the sword of the Spirit, which is His Word. So how do we receive this Word? I think that we need to read it. We need to ruminate on it. We need to recall it. Romans 10, verse 17 reads, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." As God's Spirit reveals His truth to our hearts, our faith grows. If we don't hear it, our faith doesn't grow. And as we spend time with God, as we spend time reading His Word, reading the Bible, the Holy Spirit confronts us with the things that we believe or the things that we're doing that are contrary to the truth in His Word. He does this in ways that affect each of us personally. Hebrews 4, verse 12 tells us, "The Word of God is living and effective, and sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating as far as the separation of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It is able to judge the ideas and thoughts of the heart." God's Word is powerful, and it affects hearts, minds, and lives. God's Word revealed to us affects us. Our lives are impacted by the Word of God revealed to us by the Spirit of God. This is why the enemy wants so much for us to be illiterate when it comes to knowing what God's word says. He'd actually rather that we get 20 times as much teaching or training or ideas getting into our heads from television, social media, or online articles as we get from his word. He wants us to be confused. He wants us to doubt him. He wants us to not be convinced of the truth. There are so many ideas out there. There's so much information out there that is presented in ways that are easily consumable. So the question that I have for you this morning is, what are you putting in your mind? What are the things that you let, the messages that you let scroll through your brain? Do we test the things that we hear according to the word? Do we know how to study our Bibles? Do we take the time to do it? If we don't spend time reading the Bible, how can we know what it says? It is important for us to memorize the Word of God as well, so that we can easily recall it in times of trial and struggle. Psalm 119, verse 11 reads, "I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you." I can still remember many of the memory verses I learned in Sunday school, and I'm so thankful for Sunday school teachers who thought of creative ways to encourage us to memorize Scripture. I'm also thankful for kids' songs that remind us of important biblical truths in simple melodies, like Jesus Loves Me, and the ones that we sing to our kids as we put them to bed. So if we read the word and we memorize it and we spend time with it and we have it ready to recall, if we have the sword of the Spirit ready in hand, how do we use it in this battle? The sword of the Spirit of the Word of God is the only item mentioned in the list of God's armor that is both defensive and offensive. We need to know how to use it. The word is defensive in the way that the Holy Spirit brings the written, revealed word of God to our minds in times when we personally face temptations or trials. Jesus exemplifies the usage of the word of God within our spiritual battle when he is tempted by the devil. The devil is also often called the accuser, which is how he likes to attack. Satan attacks Jesus in the desert when he's weak and hungry, and you can find that account in Matthew and Luke 4, and he entices him to doubt God's words to him. In Matthew 4, verse 3, Satan says, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Remember that God's voice is heard at Jesus' baptism speaking the words, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." So Satan directly challenges Christ's identity and God's word in one sentence. Jesus' response teaches us that we can respond to the enemy with the truth of God's word. He replies in Matthew 4:4, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God," which is also found in Deuteronomy 8. I'm going to tell you a little story that's personal. Yesterday morning at our house, we had a bit of a rough start. I got up to do some finishing work on my sermon for the morning, and Cassie and Judah went to get breakfast started. And I don't know how to describe the way the morning was starting, other than each of our bad attitudes started to rub off on each other. I was probably a little bit stressed about this morning, and Cassie and Judah were maybe just hungry. But there was some friction. There were some frustrating tones and some words flying back and forth. You see, Judah turned 3 this past January, and he's at the stage of life where he likes to ask a lot of questions. And the main question lately has been why to everything. Not just, why do we have to brush our teeth? Why do we have to go to bed? Why? I don't want to do that. These are the sorts of things that we experience daily. And so it makes you as a parent learn to reason, hopefully well, but you're reasoning with a 3-year-old, so not really sure how that works. But Cassie and I were getting a little bit more and more frustrated with the why questions. Judah had finished his breakfast and was trying to play with Cassie's teaching supplies, so I tried to get him to stop. I offered him two options. I said, "Judah, you can either go play downstairs, or you can go back and sit at the table while we have breakfast," because Cassie and I hadn't eaten at this point. But Judah, being the wise 3-year-old that he is, did not want those options. He wanted a third option. He didn't know what that was, but he wanted a third option. And after a fair bit of discussion, maybe not using proper tones or kind words, we ended up back at the kitchen table. Judah was eating his second breakfast, and Cassie and I were eating our first. At that point, I recognized that I was facing a temptation to keep being frustrated and irritated at Judah. But I asked Cassie at that point, I'm like, Cassie, what verse do you think might apply in this situation? And she responded with, a gentle answer turns away anger, which poked me a little bit. But it's found in Proverbs 15, verse 1. And I recognized that I needed to respond gently and patiently with Judah because he needed me to do that. He's 3, I'm 30. There's a bit of a maturity gap. He needed my attention and affection, but was acting out in order to get it. I wanted to share that story to illustrate the point that when God's word is on our minds and in our hearts, it is a lot easier to recognize and defend against temptations of the enemy. And to be fair, I may have only thought of that in that situation because I'm preaching this morning, so I'm thankful for the opportunity to be up here and to meditate on this all week long. I believe that the sword of the Spirit is an offensive weapon in the way that it can be used to push back against the enemy's attacks of deception and doubt. Not just for each of us personally, but in the lives of others around us. We're a community, we're a church. As believers, we're called to stand with our brothers and sisters and to fight for each other in prayer through the word, but also in encouraging each other as well. Like Christ says in Luke 4, verses 18 to 19, we are called to proclaim good news to the poor, freedom for the prisoners, and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. As ambassadors for Christ, we're called to speak the truth in love in order to bring hope to the hopeless. It is amazing how a quick text message with a Bible verse and encouragement can go a long way to boost someone's spirit and encourage them for the week. I believe that we are called not only to defend ourselves, but to fight for those around us, to speak the truth when people are believing things that are untrue. We're called to pray for each other and encourage each other, to remind each other of what God has said. Just a word of caution when we're using the word and speaking to other people. We need to be careful how we use God's word in our conversations. We need to not use it to beat people down or to convince people that our way is better than theirs. We need to be mindful that the other people are not our enemy and that we're not called to use God's word as a weapon toward them. We're called to speak the truth in humility and love. Our motivation to speak God's word must be to bring hope and to offer grace. We must be careful not to use God's word in ways that purposefully harm others. We're not called to heap guilt and shame on each other, but rather to, in humility, bring correction with grace and love in order to bring hope and healing, recognizing that we may need the same from our brothers and sisters. In fact, we often do. So what have we learned about the sword of the Spirit so far today? It is the Word of God. It has been given to us by God, and our responsibility is to read it, to meditate on it, to memorize it, not just because it needs to be a checklist of things to do, but because it helps us in the battle. It helps us to remember what is true. It helps us to stay true to walking in the way of Christ. It's useful for defending against the attacks of the accuser in our own lives and for pushing back against the accuser in the lives of the others that we're fighting alongside. The truth is that Jesus Christ died for the sins of each of us. He came back to life to prove that his sacrifice was enough to break the power of sin and death and to give hope to us. Jesus has been exalted as Lord over all. He doesn't wait until we get ourselves cleaned up to save us. He actually died for us while we were still his enemies. He took our punishment and shame so that we could join his family rather than remaining his enemies. And if you've been on the fence about Jesus for a while, my prayer this morning is that he wouldn't let you stay there. I pray that he would show you beyond the shadow of a doubt that he is real, that he is powerful, and that he has a plan for you. If you want to learn more about what it means to follow Jesus, I would encourage you to ask anybody that you know who is a believer, anybody who is a follower of Christ, about him. And I know for sure that the lay ministers, Esther, Walter, Jake, or Rudy or myself, will be open to conversation if you're looking to talk about what it means to follow Jesus and what it looks like to walk that out. I want to encourage you this morning that the sword of the Spirit is God's Word. And as we read it, as we memorize it, as we meditate on it, his Word changes our lives. His Word gives us hope, it gives us grace, and it enables us to live even in trials and struggles in this world. Amen.
Please join me in singing, "Be Strong in the Lord."
Be strong in the Lord and be of good courage. Your mighty defender is always the same. Mount up with wings as the eagle ascending, victory is sure when you call on his name. Be strong, be strong, be strong in the Lord, and be of good courage, for he is your God. Be strong, be strong, be strong.
Please bow with me for the benediction. God, we want to come before you and pray along with the psalmist. Your decrees are wonderful, therefore I obey them. The revelation of your words brings light and gives understanding to the inexperienced. And God, I pray that your word would be a lamp to our feet and a light to our paths. As we go through this dark world, as we hope to live for you, God, I pray that you would guide us and lead us, and that your Holy Spirit would quickly bring to our minds the word that we have meditated on and spent time with. Bless these people as they go in peace this week. Amen.